everything you need in the morning. Local news, traffic, weather, guests, fun conversation, and you. It's Good Morning Westchester with Dennis and Tommy. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Hello, everybody. It's Jim Maceno at College Hoops Chat here at WVOX, 1460 AM, my favorite radio station. Love being here every Monday night for this show to chat about the great sport of college basketball. Hope you're all doing well. And if you're watching the show, if you're watching the college football championship game and listening to the show, I think that's a great way to multitask. So I guess the kickoff is happening right about now in the national championship game. That also is the end of the college football season officially, right? The national championship game, which is between Alabama and Ohio State. Starting tomorrow, it's all about college basketball, right? That is the big college sport that'll be all over the news. More people will be watching it. More games will be watched as we move towards March for March Madness. Now, I say March for March Madness, not 100% sure that they're going to play March Madness at the exact same time as they always do. I think there's a chance they'll have to move dates around because so many teams are missing games, and we'll talk about that tonight. All right, so special guest tonight, fabulous guest tonight, Bob Walsh. I knew him as Bobby Walsh. I coached him in Little League, New Rochelle Little League, Larchmont Mamaroneck Little League. In 1982, I coached Bobby Walsh. He was my shortstop on our team, which I'm going to check with him. I believe it was Bucks Pharmacy, but I know we won the championship. Bob went on to be a basketball coach, a college basketball coach. He had two head coaching jobs at Rhode Island College and the University of Maine. He's been an assistant coach at places like Providence and Iona, pretty impressive. And he's going to be calling the show today, and he's going to be talking about his book that he wrote. So this is kind of a cool time to chat with someone I knew as when I was a kid, right? When I coached Little League, I was in high school and college. And he's going to call the show tonight. Bobby Walsh, should be fun. All right, so let's get through some issues. So NCAA championship, I briefly touched on it. It's all going to be in Indianapolis. Neighboring colleges like Purdue, Indiana, Butler, Ball State, they'll have games, but they're going to use Lucas Oil, where the Indianapolis Colts play, for the national championship game. They're doing a de facto bubble, similar to when we had hockey and pro basketball in the summer into spring. So that's going to be very interesting to have the NCAA tournament a bubble. I'm glad they're doing it. We certainly want those games to happen. We want the student-athletes to be healthy. We want those teams to be playing at full strength for the national championship. It'll make it great. All right, so shutdowns. A lot of shutdowns going on in college basketball. Our local school down the road, Iona College, is in a shutdown right now. They're going to come out of a shutdown this week, and they're going to play this weekend again against St. Peter's. They're going to play Sunday at 4 o'clock and Monday at 4 o'clock. They're going to come out, get some practice in, I believe tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure. Tomorrow, Wednesday, they'll be practicing officially. And then they're going to have the game Sunday and Monday back-to-back at home against St. Peter's. So go Gales. They're 5-3. They were on a roll, three in a row before the shutdown, 4 out of 5. So I'm looking forward to seeing Iona back on the court. You know, I also root for a school down in Wilmington, North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Wilmington. They're on a shutdown. I root for St. Bonaventure. They just came out of a shutdown. Had a great win last week against St. Joseph's. They're 4-1, St. Bonaventure. But these shutdowns are a big problem for them because they're not going to have enough games to make their case to get into the NCAA tournament. They're going to have to get some makeups in, or they may not make the tournament, even though they're 4-1. If they keep playing like they are, they may not make the tournament because they don't have enough games played against quality opponents. Buffalo has had missed games. I root for Buffalo. They're 4-3. They had a great win last week on Saturday night, Ball State, 86-69. But they've had four games canceled. St. John's has not had games canceled, but St. John's is struggling. They were started 5-1. They're now 6-6. After going 5-1, they went 1-5. They're really struggling in the Big East, and I don't know exactly what's going on with the St. John's Red Storm. I really thought they were a pretty solid team, would be very competitive in the Big East. It's not going well. We'll get to them in another show. We'll get some more guest callers to talk about what's going on with St. John's, but not pleased with that. My son goes to the University of South Carolina. They had a great win last week against Texas A&M, and then, of course, they had a game canceled this Saturday. They have a game canceled this week. They've had an unbelievable time with COVID, University of South Carolina. They've only played 5 games. I mean, compare that to University of North Carolina, a school I root for. They've played 11 games. So South Carolina's 3-2. They had a great win last week against Texas A&M, but they've only played 5 games. You know, it's such a difference in how many games have been played. Iona has 8. St. Bonaventure 5, Buffalo 7, St. John's 12, North Carolina 11, South Carolina only 5. So it's really frustrating for some of these schools. They can't get games in. They can't get into a flow. They get into a nice groove like Iona did. Then they get shut down again. Now they got to get back on the court, back into practice, get back into game situations. It's a very weird season. And as far as we can all tell, it's going to keep happening in January and February. Rates are high all over the country with COVID. Kids are getting it. They're supposed to be in a de facto bubble on the campus, but it doesn't seem to be working out that way. A lot of teams are getting shut down. A lot of games are getting canceled. But then it's interesting, a school like University of North Carolina, they had a game canceled this week because Clemson had some issues with COVID. But they, up until that point, North Carolina played all their games. They played 11 games. And then, of course, you have schools, like I mentioned, St. Bonaventure and University of South Carolina, that have only played 5 games. So it'll be very interesting to see where this all goes. It's very disconcerting for fans and for the players and for the coaches. I mean, Frank Martin, the coach of South Carolina, when I see him on interviews, is beside himself. They were shut down for almost a month, came out, got a really big win against Texas A&M, actually got 2 wins. Played nicely, we're getting better and better, and then shut down again. And I'm not quite sure the current status of when they're coming out. I know they were doing some retesting, but I think some kids did get COVID again, some kids who hadn't got it. So you got a school like South Carolina. I don't even know when they play again, where my son goes. Very frustrating. So anyway, shutdowns are a huge issue in this season, and they're going to be a problem all the way through in college basketball. So we're waiting for our guest. Chuck, any call yet on the guest? Not yet. All right, so waiting for our guest, Bobby Walsh. Should be calling in any minute. I guess I can't call him Bobby Walsh anymore since he's now officially Bob Walsh. And he's now been a college basketball coach and coached many times in the Division III NCAA tournament, which is pretty cool, right? So I saw that he has quite a record. When he calls in, we'll have to give him some praise. When he coached Rhode Island College, he had a 76.4% winning percentage. He won 3 out of 4 games. Pretty impressive. I think this is our call, folks, so we're going to get right into our guest right now. Do I have my shortstop, Bobby Walsh, on the line?
The man who taught me how to bunt. Yes, you do. How are you doing?
Well, that's awesome. I mean, once you became a big-time college basketball coach, if I taught you one thing, even bunting, I'll take it.
Absolutely. You might be the first coach I ever remember playing for. So that was a long time ago.
Very cool. So let me just give a background, Bob Walsh, to some people, how we know each other. So after I did not make the Iona Prep baseball team and quickly realized, unfortunately, Bob, that my baseball career was winding down, I ran to a gentleman in church who was involved with Larchmont Little League and said, you want to be a coach? And I thought it'd be fun, and I took it on, and I did it for 6 years, 4 years in the minors, 2 years in the majors. But you were the shortstop and one of the pitchers for the only one of my six teams that won the championship.
No kidding. You only won one, huh?
I only won one, Bob Walsh, and I had you on the team.
How about that? I definitely put the short into shortstop.
But you were excellent. You were like a coach. I'm not surprised you're a coach, because you were like a coach on the field. I mean, you were telling the kids what base to throw to. You were like you were an extension of the coaches, let me tell you.
Well, I played for great coaches. So, and like you, I realized pretty early that my my playing career wasn't going to last too long. So I kind of figured I never really wanted to put a suit and tie on every day and go to work. So I figured I better get into the coaching side of things.
Well, I think you made a great choice, because we're going to get into your great record at Rhode Island College. But before that, let me just say, number one, I remember your mom and dad, and I also remember your brother John, who played with me for 2 years, who was another terrific ball player. Both of you guys were like coaches of it. How's your brother John doing?
He's doing terrific, actually. He lives in Rye, New York. He's working in the city. He's a partner with Ernst & Young.
Wow.
You know, my mother, father, and brother are all certified public accountants, finance people, you know, doing the business thing, and I was kind of the black sheep. Coaching, so he's doing great.
Well,
he's
listen, do
terrific.
Me a favor, say hello to your whole family, because you had a really nice family. They were the kind of parents you wanted in youth sports. They were very supportive of what I did. They were supportive of the kids, and they got in the stands and they cheered, and they were, you know how some parents can be. Your parents were terrific.
No, I appreciate that. I really do. And it was a tremendous time. Trust me, we still get together and talk about playing for the Lions and playing for the Beavers and playing for you and Ed Witts and, you know, with a lot of the guys we played with all summer. So it's still some of the best times of our lives.
Well, it's the only thing I'll add is the only bummer about our relationship in baseball was that the following year after we won the championship, there was the draft. And I had my draft. I can tell you right now, my draft card said Joe Delgado, Bobby Walsh, 1 and 2. All right? So I pick Joey Delgado, and I'm getting you in the second round, and Ed Witt dives in and grabs you ahead of me, and you went to the Lions instead of the Foxes, so I didn't have your great talents when we made it up to the majors.
That is unbelievable. Joe Delgado, I remember this specifically, and this is maybe this is how good of a coach Ed Witt was. When we had the tryouts, he told me to wear like a collared shirt with stripes on it, because he thought it would make me look smaller and make me look like uncomfortable, almost nerdy. So I swear to God, I remember that. I wore a collared shirt for trials with stripes on it, so I looked kind of goofy, so that he was hoping other teams wouldn't pick me. So that's how you
Ed
were building
Witt's
Little League dynasties back in the day.
I coached the Walshes. I had all the Walshes that Ed Witt stole you from me.
He did. He's a terrific coach. And he won a state championship with Pelham Hockey, didn't he?
Yeah, I have to admit, I was a very good coach, but he was a better coach.
the best coach, that was the origins of my coaching career right there, was the guys, you know, coaches like yourself and Ed that we played with, you know, all spring and summer for years.
Well, thank you.
You know, learning the game.
Listen, when my son was 13, I'll give you my last tidbit, and then we'll get into the meat of our interview. I coached my son's travel soccer team to the 13-year-old Westchester County Championship. I'm taking that one to the grave, Bob Walsh. I'll never forget that championship.
That's a pretty good one, too. Travel soccer in Westchester County is no joke. So
yeah, we did really good. It was a great team. All right, let's move on. So you went to Hamilton as a student, right?
I did, yep.
And then you coached at Iona, the great school down the road, Iona College, that we talk a lot about on the show. And then you became like the rest of them, the nomad. You went out to San Diego. Then you came back to Providence, got to coach for an excellent coach in Tim Welsh. And then you moved over to Rhode Island College for 9 years and went to all these national championship tournaments, won 76% of your games. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. When I got out of school, I was a grad assistant at Iona, and I grew up just a couple of miles down the road from the school, and both my parents are alums, and I ended up getting my master's degree there, and then you know, I worked for Jerry Welsh was the head coach. Tim took over for his dad while I was there.
Right.
I spent 1 year at the University of San Diego, and then Tim gets the Providence job. So 26 years old, here I am coaching in the Big East, you know, the conference I grew up watching, you know, going to the Garden to watch Syracuse and St. John's play and Big Monday and all that. So I was very, very lucky. Tim gave me a ton of responsibility to be a Big East assistant at 26 years old. And about after 7 years with Tim, I didn't feel like I was necessarily getting better at the right rate. I wanted something new. You know, I wanted to challenge myself. And Rhode Island College, the Division III state school, literally a mile and a half from Providence College, I didn't have to move, and I was fortunate. I took over the best team in the league at Rhode Island College, a bunch of juniors and seniors who, you know, were talented but hadn't had a lot of success, and we were able to build something really special there.
You really did. And then you get to go to Division I to coach University of Maine, and that didn't go as well. Must have been hard to recruit up in Maine, I imagine.
Well, it's interesting. It's not, you can recruit anywhere. You can get players anywhere. It really, and you know, Coach Cooley, we were talking about it the other day. Everybody says, man, it must be hard getting players. We got really good players. It was hard to keep them there.
Okay.
So we had in 4 years, we had 9 kids who would have all played together who ended up transferring up.
Is that because of the weather?
You know, to higher level leagues.
I'm sure it wasn't because of the coach, because the coach was great. So it must have been the weather.
Well, no, you know what? The weather wasn't great, but what the kids want, honestly, is just, you know, they want somebody who's going to make them better. Like, they want a good culture. They want a positive program. They want a chance to compete. Our issue when we first got there was the program was in such bad condition when we got there that the kids that we recruited played a ton as freshmen. So we had one kid who averaged 17 points a game as a freshman, and one kid who averaged 15 points a game the same year. Well, with what's going on in college basketball these days, you know, those guys were really valuable, and all of a sudden, big-time schools started calling them.
Yeah,
you know?
That happens.
So we ended up, and you know, Maine does struggle financially. You know, it is a long way away. There are some challenges to the job, but, you know, so it was hard for me because some of these kids, you know, when a kid comes to you and says, hey, coach, you know, Florida called. Right? Or VCU, or, you know, like, these are the schools that are interested in them. You know, as a coach, I want to do what's right for my players.
Right.
You know, if Florida had called me and said, hey, we want you to come be our coach, I'd have been out of there on the first thing smoking. You know, that's the truth, right? So the conversations were really about what was best for them, and, you know, there were challenges, certainly at the University of Maine, that made it hard to say, hey, you know, this is where I think it's best for you to stay. So, but I had a terrific 4 years up there. I coached some great kids. I learned a ton. Everybody says, well, do you regret taking the job? And I'm like, no way, because it made me a much better coach. And I'm a better coach today because of that experience. And some of the relationships I have with my kids, I'll have forever.
No question. Listen, through tough situations in life, you certainly can learn more than your best situations in life. I've learned that as
Absolutely.
Well. All right, now you are the Assistant Director of Player Development, Scouting, and Recruiting Coordinator. Got a nice long title at Providence Big East. Great program. I think a great head coach. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Providence is a special place with a great basketball tradition, and I spent 7 years at the school and then 16 years in overall with the Rhode Island College living in Rhode Island. So Ed Cooley is as good a person in this business. He's a terrific coach. I love being an assistant again. Everybody said, well, when you're a head coach, you know, would you ever go back to be an assistant again? And I was like, I would love to work for a good guy who does things differently than I do. I mean, Coach Cooley and I certainly have different personalities and approaches to the game and teaching it. So I'm learning a ton. You know, the program has been really good on under Coach Cooley. We're trying to get it to that next level where we can, you know, get to the NCAA tournament and go on a run. But it's a Providence. Rhode Island is an area where basketball is really important in the winter. And when I had good teams at Rhode Island College, even Division III, you know, the games were on TV. The local news was there. It's important. So it's a great basketball town. It's a great area to live. and Providence is a special place as far as the people in the school. So I'm really fortunate to be back.
So we talk about Providence on this show because Ken Nixon was one of the assistant coaches on the baseball team, calls the show every week, and he went to Providence.
Really?
Yes. And he knows you. He says he's seen you on the sideline coaching. He knew that one of the kids he coached was coaching at Providence. That's pretty cool, right?
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. That's unbelievable.
Remember, I always had like all these assistant coaches that I went to high school with.
Right, right.
Yeah, we used to have fun. All right, so now let's change the subject to you wrote a book. How cool is that? You wrote a book? Tell us about your book.
Yeah, it's really exciting, to be honest. It's something I'm really proud of. I started writing it probably 5 or 6 years ago, just in the summers. I've always liked to write. I started a website when I was a Division III coach, talking about different leadership topics and coaching topics, and it's coachbobwalsh.com that became pretty popular in the coaching business. And then I really believed that the culture that we built when I was at Rhode Island College was something special. It was something different. I learned a ton about leadership. It was my first head coaching job, so I started writing the story of how we built the program there and the kids that I coach and the mistakes that I made and sort of the leadership lessons that I learned there. And, it's about an uncommon approach to leadership. I think my approach to leadership is a little different from what I learned there with those kids. And it's about building an elite team and sustaining it over time, which we were able to do. I think the hardest thing to do in team sports is to sustain an elite level of success. So it's a lot of leadership lessons that translate everywhere. I think it's not just to team sports, but to business, but to different fields. And, I hope it is fun to read for people. And I think it will give people a chance to sort of define or refine their own leadership approach and, tell the story of a great group of kids and how we turned a program that had never really won anything into a nationally ranked championship program.
Pretty cool. So I'm going to push this for you on social media. I have a lot of followers on social media. So I'm so proud of you that you've done so great with your career. I'm going to push the book for you, but tell everybody right now how they can get the book.
Yeah, the book is called Entitled to Nothing, which was kind of the approach to our leadership model at Rhode Island College, adopted by our kids. And there's a website, entitledtonothingbook.com. And that'll give you all the links. And it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBooks. So pretty much anywhere where you find books, if you look it up, you can get it. And I've gotten great feedback. I'm excited about it. And hopefully it's something people enjoy reading.
Super. All right. So I'm going to push it for you. So if you folks, if you weren't able to get all that, I'm going to put it on my Facebook and my Twitter accounts and the Twitter account for this radio show. So you know what else, Bob? We're going to do an interview. And we're going to offline. I'll call you. And we'll put that on my website that goes with the show as well. So you'll have a permanent representation on the internet, the two of us chatting about the book.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And what I'll do is I'll send you a couple of copies, too, if you have some listeners you want to give them away or have a trivia contest or
great.
Anything like that. I'd love to send you some. And, I'll get an address where I can send you some copies so you can get them out to your listeners.
I'll text you. That would be great. We'll definitely do that on the show. And please, I want mine autographed, and I want you to say something fun about me being your coach.
Absolutely will. The best bunting coach I've ever had.
I want to believe there's something in that book that I either said or influenced you. I got to believe that.
You know what? You will probably find something that's familiar. So I don't know that your name will appear, but there'll be something that sounds familiar to you,
all right,
I'm sure.
Good. That's great. Hey, listen, do you got to go, or can you stay on for a few more minutes?
No, I can stay on. I'm good.
All right, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come out, I'm going to have Ken Nixon, your other coach, call in, and we're going to talk about Providence.
Awesome.
All right, so hold on. We're going to go to commercial. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Jim Massano, Bob Walsh, commercial break, College Hoops Chat. We'll be right back, folks.
Chester's favorite morning show.
I love the morning show.
Good morning. Morning Westchester with Dennis and Tawny. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Okay, folks, we're back. It's Jim Misano on College Hoops Chat, your favorite radio station here on WVOX. And we have a great guest on the line. Bob Walsh is coaching up at Providence right now. He's been a head coach, wrote a book, and we're so thrilled to have them. Bob, you still there?
Absolutely.
All right. I also believe we have our number one caller and another former coach of Bob Walsh and Lily, Kenny from Rye. Kenny, are you there?
I am, James.
All right. Well, you probably want to say hello to your former shortstop.
Bobby, how you doing?
I'm great, Coach. How are you?
Good, good. Good to have you on. Good to see you. I read the reviews on your book. They look wonderful. And, you know, I know your times in Rhode Island have paid dividends here, not only with Rick, but also with your years with Welsh and Coach Cooley currently.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And you know, Providence College is a special place, and Rhode Island is a great place to live. So it's exciting for me.
16 years makes you a native now of Rhode Island.
I, as they say in Rhode Island, I know where things used to be, right? Because that's how Rhode Islanders give direction. You know, go down to where, you know, Benny's used to be. That's how they give direction. So I know where things used to be.
All right, guys. Exactly. So first of all, Bob, now that you've connected with Ken and realized he was your coach, after this pandemic and he comes up for a game, you're going to get him with pitchers, with Coach Cooley and everything, right? We're going to take care of Kenny from Rye, right?
Absolutely. Courtside seats, whatever you need.
How about that, Kenny?
Good to hear. I've had the pleasure to play golf with Coach Cooley, too, in the past up in Rhode Island, which was a great experience and great to listen to him talk about his philosophy, you know, really about the team itself, you know, after golf. So, you know, it was really, really a great opportunity to talk about leadership and the opportunities that he's giving these young men. And I think what he takes forward is the opportunity that was given to him and how he teaches that to the kids that he has on his team.
Absolutely. He is a guy who has it in perspective, certainly. You know, having grown up, you know, South Providence and you know, facing some difficulties growing up, understanding that what we have and what we're given, never to take it for granted. Now, I'm also lucky to work for a coach who's addicted to golf. I always joke with him. He plays more than Vijay Singh in the off season. So as an assistant, that's not a bad thing. You know, a boss who likes to be out on the golf course, he's a lot of fun to play with.
That's great. Well, next time I'm up there, we'll get you out to the Dunes Club. We'll get you out to Point Judith to play some golf with him.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
All right. First of all, I heard the words courtside seats. So now when Kenny goes up for the courtside seats, I will be joining him, Bob Walsh. That's too good to pass up.
It's an easy trip, absolutely. And look, we're desperate to get our fans back in the building, like I think we are at most places. So it's a great trip too. I mean, it's a fun road trip for a game. So we'll get you for St. John's, and then I'll force you to root for us. How about that?
Oh boy, I'm a lifelong St. John's fan, Bob Walsh. I mean, you know, I go back to David Russell in the late 70s. I mean, it's a long time.
I get it.
But so maybe we shouldn't do St. Listen, play Georgetown. I'm not a fan of Georgetown. I'll put on Providence shirt, Providence hat, everything.
There you go. We'll make that happen.
All right. So let's talk about this season. Will Providence make the NCAA tournament? What do you think?
I hope so. I tell you what, we are, you know, about a second and a half away from being 5-1 in the league and probably being nationally ranked. But, you know, we're also about 8 seconds away from being 1-5. So we've lost two in a row, both games literally at the buzzer. We gave up a dunk at the buzzer against Creighton and a three to lose by one yesterday at Xavier. So we have an interesting dynamic. We have two of the best players in the league, you know, Nate Watson inside and David Duke, who both have the potential to be first-team all-league players and play in the NBA. Most of our other guys aren't Big East experienced yet. We only have two other players that have played in the Big East. So, you know, that is our goal. Obviously, Coach Cooley has raised the expectations here where getting to the NCAA tournament is part of the deal for us. And the Big East, as you guys know, offers a ton of opportunities for big-time wins. You know, last year, I think we ended up winning 5 games against ranked teams in a row in February to put ourselves in a position where we're going to the tournament again. So we got to defend a little better. We got to shoot the ball a little bit more consistently, but hopefully, you know, assuming there is a tournament at the end of the year, we'll be there.
Bob, one thing I've noticed a couple of times when I've watched Providence, and I certainly am impressed with Watson and Duke, it seems like you had a little bit of a difficult transition, just like last year, though it worked out by the end of the season, at the point guard position. Is that coming along?
Well, it was. You know, we had a kid, Jared Bynum, sitting out who was a transfer from St. Joe's, and he injured his groin in our last game and didn't play last night. So he's kind of day-to-day right now, which means David's had to take on a lot more of the ball handling responsibilities, and we have a freshman, Alan Breed, who started his first game last night, who we're high on. So I would say it was coming along, and now we've kind of taken a couple of steps backwards just because of personnel issues and injury issues. But, you know, if we can get consistent point guard play, and we've got to shoot the ball a little bit better. We've been very inconsistent with the way we've shot the ball, and when the ball goes in, we all look a lot smarter.
Right. And I have one more question. I'm sure Kenny has questions. If you had to make a prediction right now, and we're going to make Providence one of them because we have to do that, who do you think's the Final Four in the Big East tournament from what you've seen so far this season?
Wow, that's a great question because, you know, it's a rare year in that, you know, some teams have played 8 games and some teams have played 2 or 3 games.
Right.
You know, it's not consistent. But, you know, Villanova is certainly going to be up there. I think Creighton is going to be up there. I would put Seton Hall in that mix. I have a ton of respect for Kevin Willard and the job he's done and the way he develops his players. So if I had to pick 4, throw us in there, it would probably be those 4. But I will tell you what, I think people would be surprised if Villanova or Creighton weren't in that mix of the last 4 in the Big East. I think, you know, 6 or 7 teams could be in the mix for those other 2 spots. So it's going to be pretty balanced from 3 through, you know, 9 or 10 to see who can get there.
No question. All right, Kenny, I'm sure you have a question.
Yeah, Coach, I have 2 questions. Just one in particular. Providence has been lucky enough not having to be quarantined in their rooms, and I know there have been weeks of where they've been able to practice. Coach Cooley spoke about that in one of his podcasts, where he's been able to get, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks. Do you think that is going to have a compounding effect on the positive side, you know, toward the end of the season, say, you know, beginning of February, end of February, versus the teams like Villanova and others, and we'll use Iona locally here, that have been quarantined and the young men have been able to, you know, not only practice, but have to stay in their rooms and not even be able to, you know, get in, like I should say, a skull session in the old days. How does that play out long term?
It's a really interesting question. I do think the teams that have avoided shutdowns should be at an advantage. But I will also say I think we're the only team in the Big East, knock on wood, that hasn't been quarantined yet. You know, we've been very, very fortunate, but we've also had 3 games canceled in a row, right? So one day we're preparing for Xavier, and, you know, the day before the game we find out they're not coming, and then it's going to be DePaul because they moved the schedule around, and then they have a positive test and they're not coming. So it's still been a little bit inconsistent as far as preparation. The other thing that worries me, quite honestly, is, I mean, how many teams are going to get through an entire season until March without a positive test or without having to shut down at some point? So do the teams that had to shut down earlier get an advantage? Because, you know, there are a number of teams and coaches you talk to where they say, well, we're pretty much, you know, most of the guys on our team have had it already, which means if they do get another positive test, the majority of their team isn't going to have to shut down, and they're going to be able to continue to practice and play. So, you know, do you end up where, you know, if we don't have any issues and then all of a sudden we get an issue in the middle of February and we're out for 2 weeks, does that have a significant impact at the wrong type of time of year? So, but yeah, it will be unbalanced, and there will be teams who have been practicing and playing together for a lot longer competing for spots in the NCAA tournament, and the ones that are doing that consistently should certainly have an advantage.
Well, that, you know, that's interesting. You mentioned that about, you know, the possibility at the end of the season, and that's kind of leads into my second question. What, you know, in the past we've been able to look at conferences like the Big East, the Big Ten, the ACC. If you get into the 2021 wins, you're kind of going to get into the NCAA. We know that's the case. It used to be 18, 19. Now it seems to be 2021.
Right.
What is the committee looking at this year that's going to say to yourself, you know, halfway through February, okay, this team looks very, very good, even though the record doesn't look great. You know, there's a number of those teams in the Big Ten. Jimmy and I have talked about, you know, that are slightly above 500 that have had great wins but have some had tough losses. But obviously the wins have had good weightings. What are you and the staff at Providence looking at to say, all right, we're in a good place come February 1st?
So it's also a great question. I mean, I think the simple answer at first is we don't really know because it's there's a lot of unknown. But I look at it almost like the Cy Young voting these days with the analytics in baseball, where you know wins aren't that valuable anymore because it's more of a dependent stat. So we've all lost a number of wins from guarantee games. You know, at our level, right? I mean, no, we've only played, normally we would play five or six low major guarantee games, which usually you win those games and you're playing at home and that adds to your win total. You know, we only played two of those games this year. And then other than that, it's been all high major games. So I think you will see worse records and less wins in the tournament. I guess the question is how does the unbalanced schedule and the changes that have taken place affect the metrics? How does it affect the net rating, right? How does it affect, you know, RPI or anything else that they're using, you know, strength of schedule? I don't think total number of wins is really going to matter anymore. I think if you're in a Power 5 league or a top 6 league and you're, you know, at 500, you're going to get considered, right? You're going to get considered for the tournament. And you know, I think we all feel like we're at 500 or over it in our league. We should be in that tournament.
All right, guys. Great job. Great chat about the NCAA tournament. Kenny from Rye, Bobby Walsh, our special guest. Thank you so much for calling. And I hope you'll consider coming on the show again, Bob Walsh.
I would love to. I really enjoyed it, fellas. And let's definitely stay in touch.
Sounds great. All right. Thank you, Bob Walsh. Thank you, Kenny from Rye. Folks, we're going to our final commercial break, and then we'll finish up the show. I'm Jim Maisano. This is College Hoops Chat.
Start your mornings with radio's favorite morning team, Dennis and Tawny, and Good Morning Westchester. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
All right, folks, we are back, and we're in the open line segment of the show. So if you want to get on the radio, you want to talk about some college hoops issues, pick up your phone and dial 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. The phone lines are open. I'd love to chat with you about any issue on your mind about college basketball. It was a kind of a slow week in the last week, but things are going to really heat up now in conference play. The big Power 6 conferences, a lot of big games coming up, and I'll give you an example. I have not seen Baylor play yet. I don't know why. I just have not been able to catch them. They're thought of right now as the second best team in the country, Baylor, and they're pretty much blowing out anybody that shows up to play them. They're unbeaten, and they're number two in the nation after Gonzaga, who, as I've told you on prior shows, I believe Gonzaga will be unbeaten in the regular season, go into the NCAA tournament as an unbeaten team. Gonzaga is terrific. But you listen to analysts on the talk shows, and they think Baylor's pretty close. I haven't seen them, but I just checked. And if we all want to check out just how good this Baylor team is, they've got three big games coming up in the next few weeks. So January 16th, they play Texas Tech. That's a good team, Texas Tech. Very, very well coached, a very rugged, tough defensive squad. So I look forward to seeing Baylor versus Texas Tech. Kansas is Kansas, right? It's one of the top programs in the history of college basketball. They're always really good. They have a very good team this year. I don't know if I would say that Kansas is great, but they're certainly very good to great. They're going to be an NCAA tournament team. They can beat anybody on any given night. That's on January 18th, Baylor versus Kansas. And then the third time you could check out a big game for Baylor would be February 2nd. February 2nd, and I think this will be the game for Baylor, and we'll find out just how great Baylor is. Baylor plays Texas on February 2nd. Texas is great. Texas is one of the top teams in the country. They've gotten a lot of big wins, gutty wins, tough wins, big win this past weekend. So that's a game to watch. February 2nd, Baylor versus Texas. So we don't, on this radio show, we talk an awful lot about the Big East and the ACC sometimes, and of course the Big Ten. We haven't talked about the Big 12 a lot. There's a lot of really good basketball teams in the Big 12 conference, and it's right up there with all the top conferences. Look, I just mentioned you have Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. That's five really good basketball programs in the Big 12. So I definitely want to get a look at Baylor, and there's some good chances. All right, if you want to give us a call here, the number is 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And we could chat about anything you want when it comes to college basketball. All right, so what other issues? So we have Iona getting back on the court this weekend, finally, after another shutdown. And I'm very curious to see how they come out of the shutdown, as I said earlier in the show, because they were playing so well. I'm also concerned about North Carolina. Has anybody seen North Carolina play yet this year? They're 7-4, but this is not a vintage North Carolina basketball team. I like North Carolina, rooting for them for a long time. It's obviously, like Kansas and Duke and Kentucky. It's one of the premier college basketball programs. They were lousy last year, under 500, just had a really lousy year. And they got a lot of big-time recruits this year. They're starting three freshmen. And I was hoping they'd be a little better. I'll tell you what bothers me about North Carolina. They don't really have a point guard. They have two guards that are kind of combo guards, as we call them. Someone that can play the point and shoot. Well, North Carolina right now has got two freshman combo guards rather than have a veteran point guard running the operation. If North Carolina had a point guard, they'd be a better team. They have a lot of big guys down low. Young freshmen and sophomores, big guys. Including Baycott and including Brooks, some really good ball players. So the big guys down low are keeping North Carolina in games. But I think they're, believe it or not, a borderline NCAA tournament team, and I'm a fan. So that's a team to watch to see what happens with the North Carolina Tar Heels. There's definitely a team that's kind of struggling right now. Folks, if you want to give us a call, the number here is 914-636-0110. You've heard all my views in the last 3 months about college basketball. I'd love to hear your views on some of the issues. Again, call us at 914-636-0110. So I think what we have to do, one area on the show that's been covered less than I would have expected is the ACC. And part of that is because I'm not 100% sure who the best teams are in the ACC. When I watch the ACC, I see the announcers tell me maybe Clemson's the best team. Or they say maybe Florida State's the best team. We have North Carolina and Duke and North Carolina State, these great programs in the ACC. It's unclear, that conference. A lot of teams have missed games, but nobody's really emerging. Duke hardly plays. I haven't seen Duke play this year. I mean, I actually partly, a couple of games earlier on, I saw them only part of the game. As usual, they have some five-star players, but we haven't seen much from Duke. So the ACC is interesting, and we haven't talked about it a lot because I don't think a great team has emerged. It's so easy to talk about Gonzaga and Baylor and Texas. But it's not so easy to talk about the ACC. Virginia, right? Virginia is always one of the top teams. They're current national champions because we didn't have a tournament last year. So Virginia is the current national champions right now. So we'll see how Virginia looks. You know, I've seen Virginia and, you know, I saw, for instance, Gonzaga blow them off the floor. You know, that wasn't really close. It really wasn't that competitive. That's how good Gonzaga is. I think Virginia's good. But again, when the ACC has played other conferences, normally the ACC is the better conference. Not this year. For instance, in the Big Ten ACC Challenge earlier in the year, the Big Ten won. It was close, but the Big Ten won more games than the ACC. So I want to get someone to call in, talk more about the ACC. I'll look for a really good guest on the ACC, particularly maybe get somebody to call in from North Carolina area, the Raleigh Avenue, a blogger or something. Maybe talk about Duke, North Carolina State, and North Carolina. It's a lot of great basketball. It must be really fun to live in Raleigh, North Carolina, because you can kind of walk into your driveway, get in a car, go see a Duke game, a North Carolina State game, or a University of North Carolina game, all like a 15, 20-minute drive. The amount of great basketball is just unbelievable that's in the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina. All right, we have a call coming in, so let's go to the phone line. Good evening.
Hey, Jim, it's John from Croton. How are you?
Hello, John from Croton. How you doing tonight?
Good. Just wanted to give a shout-out to the UConn Huskies, the 7-1 UConn Huskies. You know, you had the conversation earlier about Big East teams. They beat DePaul today, and they got Villanova coming up this weekend.
That's a huge game for them. If they want to make their mark on their re-entry into the Big East, because to me, Villanova is the best team in the Big East. As good as Creighton is, I think Villanova is a little better. But we haven't got to see much of Villanova. They've been shut down for so long. It's going to be a tough transition to come out of the break. So that's a game where Connecticut could find an upset.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the poor Huskies, a day or two later, they play the year second favorite or first favorite team there, St. John's.
St. John's is my favorite Big East team for sure, and they are struggling. St. John's, they play that full court pressure game, and when it's on, they could beat anybody. But they've had some trouble getting the defense. You know, I thought for sure that this year St. John's defense would just be great as it was at the end of last year. It hasn't been. And sometimes with St. John's, the defense triggers the offense. So that would be an interesting game to see UConn against St. John's. I think St. John's will view that as a game they can kind of bounce back with. It could be a good game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be competitive, and who's going to outlast who, we really don't know.
Yeah, so what do you think of, your daughter went, I know John is a friend, I know his daughter went to UConn, so that's probably, is that your favorite college basketball team?
I have a lot invested in that place, so yeah, yes it is, and they're excited up there about Hurley being their coach and just coming back to the Big East and restoring some of the prestige that the program had. I mean, yes, when my daughter was there, they won a number of national titles in men's and women's basketball in the 4 years she was there. So basketball crazy was the place at the time.
It's a great school for basketball, and I think it's an exciting time for UConn on them. It's always exciting on the women's side, but now on the men's side with Danny Hurley and going back to the Big East. Exciting time for UConn, and John, maybe we'll Zoom that game when St. John's against UConn. We'll Zoom and watch it together.
Yeah, we'll have to.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for the call. All right, that's John from Croton. Folks, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much. See you next week on the College Hoops Chat Radio Show here on WVOX 1460 AM. Bye-bye now.